We are live on YouTube. This is your Wednesday night Dynamite stream, Solid Monster Sounds Off style, for Wednesday, August 5th, 2020. I am the Solid Monster. Thank you so much for choosing me for your Wednesday night delight, I guess we'll say, for those of you who are here to tune into the Dynamite recap. I thank you. Before we get to Dynamite, I watched the opening of the Women's Tag Team Cup tournament, The Deadly Draw. It was up on their YouTube channel, AEW's channel. Monday night, about an hour before Raw started, ran about 40 minutes. It was not a full hour. It's basically their Battle Bowl. I mean, that's really what it is. It's their version of the old WCW Battle Bowl pay-per-view, Battle Bowl tournament. That's what they have begun. And we had Tony Schiavone on the call with a familiar face. For those of you, especially if you've tuned in the past to Ring of Honor, then you probably know this name. It was Tony Schiavone and Veda Scott. On commentary, it's Veda time. Veda was there. She was on commentary. I thought she did a great job. I thought Veda sounded great. Shaw Guerrero was the ring announcer for the evening. I'm sure she's very excited to watch her brother battle Seth Rollins at SummerSlam. Or as Bret Hart would say, at the SummerSlam or in the SummerSlam. Yeah, you know, they had SummerSlam 1992 on FS1 just last night. How about that? It's better than most of the things you'll see on WWE television these days. Took me back in time. And then the next night, here we are watching what I thought was a very good episode of Dynamite. So back-to-back nights of great wrestling. I can't complain. I haven't even watched NXT yet. But I did watch The Deadly Draw. And they had Medusa. Medusa was introduced as a special guest. And, you know, I was thinking, especially when I saw Eric Bischoff tonight on the show, here we have Medusa. We've got Eric Bischoff making an appearance tonight. We've got Arn Anderson, and we've got Tully Blanchard, and we've got Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone on commentary. Don't ever let anybody tell you the spirit of WCW is not alive. The spirit of WCW, all these many years later, lives on. And it lives on right here in AEW, and for the most part, that's a good thing. The people they have, although you could get a little carried away with it. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But I wanted to run through these results real quick. I was kind of surprised, honestly, they didn't really spend much time on it tonight on Dynamite. Not a whole lot of mentions, if any, unless I missed, of this women's tournament. And it was just sort of overlooked. You would think they would make a bigger deal about it. So that's my job. I'm here to tell you exactly what happened before we get into tonight's show. The Nightmare Sisters, they drew the same color in the drawing, so surprise, surprise, they got to be tag team partners. Those are the rules. You draw a color, a random color. Whoever draws the same color, you are put together as tag team partners. So it was Brandy and Allie taking on the team of Mel. Remember Mel from the Nightmare Collective? Brandy and Mel, they've got a little history together. And her partner, Penelope Ford. And at one point, Mel was trying to rip Brandy's hair out, probably because Mel is now bald as a result of basically shaving her head or having her head shaved for the Nightmare Collective. So she probably is a little sore about that. But in any event, she can't be too, I mean, look, you can't be too upset about it if after all these months, you're still bald. She could have grown her hair back in by now. Obviously, for her, she enjoys the look. So what is there to be upset about? Brandy won with a spear on Mel, so they move on. It was solid, you know, it was, Brandy sometimes tends to move a little bit like she's moving in quicksand, but I thought the match was, it was solid. And apparently she's going heel, because in the post-match promo, she's in the back talking about herself, you know, here I'm thinking Brandy is the babyface and Allie is maybe going to be the heel. They have switched up the dynamic here. We had Nyla Rose and Ariane, the former Cameron from WWE, the same Cameron that was released 4 years ago by WWE, taking on the team of Anna Jay and Tay Conti, the former Tainara Conti from NXT, who was released by WWE 4 months ago. So we have somebody who was released 4 years ago here against somebody who was released 4 months ago by the same company. But Conti, for those of you who don't know, she's very athletic. I thought she had a lot of talent. She's somebody who had no idea what wrestling was. She was recruited because of her look. Somebody in WWE saw pictures of her on Instagram. That's how they recruited her. Hell of a recruitment process there by WWE. So they brought her in, but she got better over time, and then they just cut her because I guess they didn't have anything for her. So she's good. She's definitely one to watch out for. I hope she gets a closer look when this whole thing is over. So Team Tay J, I guess that's what they call themselves, Anna Jay and Taynar and Tay, they're Team Tay J. Now, Veda Scott said that Ariane has been preparing. She's been spending a lot of time preparing in the ring, trying to improve, trying to up her game, up her craft. And I watched the match. Yeah, we all poked fun at Cameron when the announcement was made. What are they thinking? Why Cameron? She hasn't wrestled a single match on an independent show or anything in the 4 years since she got fired from WWE. She wasn't that great back in the day. Why Cameron? Well, I watched the match, and I have to say, she's no Sheeta, all right? Don't get me wrong. She's no Sheeta, but I thought she looked good. I thought she had a good accounting of herself here. I thought she had a good showing. Conti looked better. I still think WWE dropped the ball with her. That was a mistake. But in any event, she and Anna were working over Nyla's knee. Anna Jay was the least experienced person in the ring, and it showed. Ariane did her split leg drop move on Conti, the same move that she hit on Naomi. That one very infamous moment where Naomi was face down on the mat, and she's covering her, and she's yelling at the ref, "Count it, ref! Count it!" And the referee just, I don't know the referee's name, he's still with WWE, but he just looks at her and he goes, "Count what?" And then she rolls her over and goes for the pin. She'll never live that moment down. So she hit that move here. Thankfully, Conti was laying face up this time. But in any event, Anna Jay had made the blind tag. She didn't see it. She came in with the Charlotte Flair natural selection and pinned Ariane. So Anna Jay and Taynara Conti move on. And after the match, Nyla Rose laid out Ariane. Now, if you're wondering whether this means the end of Ariane, does that mean that she's signed to a contract with AEW? That is not the case. She appeared on a YouTube show called Sippin' the Tea. That's the name of the show, Sippin' the Tea. And Naomi was a guest as well. So we had a little Funkadactyls reunion here on this YouTube show. And she made it very clear that she has not signed a contract with AEW. This was a one and done. It was, as she said, something to do. And this got Naomi very excited because Naomi is hoping that Cameron might come back to WWE and they can have a Funkadactyls reunion, which they both seem very enthusiastic about. And again, Cameron had a good effort here. I can't hate. I thought that she looked fine. She looked okay. I didn't know what to expect. But she didn't embarrass herself out there. And so I throw the question out to you. As we get into Dynamite here, I throw the question out to you. If she was to go back to WWE, would you like to see that? Would you like to see a Funkadactyls reunion? You know, I think of the women's tag team titles. They sure could use some new teams. So what would you have to say about a Funkadactyls reunion with Naomi and Cameron back together going after the belts? You guys chime in and let me know. So now we get to Dynamite tonight. Jim Ross, Taz, and Tony Schiavone on commentary again for the second week in a row. No Excalibur. Now, if you guys listened to me last week, then you know, not a big deal. Don't blow this out of proportion. This show was taped on Thursday last week. So, you know, I had to assume that if they were going to tape TV the same day or the next day, he wasn't going to be there. I personally would expect him to be back on the show next week. I've heard nothing about him being suspended or suspended for 30 days. I don't think he's going to lose his job. We talked about the controversy last week. I'm not going to get into it again. But before people make a big deal about the fact that, 2 weeks in a row of no Excalibur, pump the brakes. This was a tape show, not a big deal. If he's not on the show next week, that's a different story. But I would expect him to be back. What's going on, guys? Let me run through some super chats here real quick. Because you guys are already slamming that $ button you see in the live chat. That's where you go if you want to drop a super chat. Prince Walker says he loves the improvement with the Dark Order. We're going to talk about the Dark Order. We're going to talk about all that. We're going to talk about all that stuff here. Jacob Donnelly, better show than last week tonight. Main event was a lot better than he thought. Thank you, by the way, for the 10 and the 5 spot. And Rob Bass, who was the first person in the live chat tonight. It was me and Rob all alone at one point. That sounds sexual, but it's not. But it was just me and him. We could have done anything we wanted in the chat, but we were waiting for all of you to come join us. So thank you, Rob. And Nathan Cania, thank you for the 10 as well. So they wasted no time getting to the action tonight. I mean, this was, they played the intro to the show, and then boom, everybody was out in the ring. There were no entrances because you got 12 guys. It was a 12-man tag. Now, the opening match last week was a cluster. It was a clusterfuck. I was not a fan of that opening match. It was just move, 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 move. And it didn't really mean anything. I wasn't a fan of it. This, I enjoyed. I enjoyed this. I thought as a match it was better, but it also told a story, which we'll get to here. So I enjoyed this. I thought this opener was actually very good. And it was a 12-man tag. It was Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, the Young Bucks, and FTR working together as partners, taking on the Dark Order. And all the men, as I said, were already in the ring. So within 30 seconds of the show starting, boom, we were right into the action. Now they also, I have to say this, I do have one very big critique about tonight's show. Not this match. But this is my critique about the show tonight. If you remember, if you listened to my podcast on Sunday, I talked about SmackDown. And I talked about SmackDown because there were some segments during the show where they sweetened the crowd noise, and it was atrocious. Now, having a little bit of crowd noise or ambient noise in the background, no problem. But they went way overboard with it. It sounded phony, it sounded fake, and it sounded very distracting. AEW, which has, you know, production-wise, usually does a pretty good job. They have people out there making noise. Well, they decided to ratchet up the crowd sweetening to an annoying degree. I noticed it during the debate between Jericho and Orange Cassidy. Don't do that. Don't do that. It ruins the show. When you go overboard with the fake, obviously fake crowd noise, it just takes you out of the show. Maybe it didn't with you, but it did with me. I want them to dial it back. All right, both of them, both companies, please dial it back with the fake crowd noise. We don't need fake crowd noise pumped up to 10. Anyway, last week I talked about the opener, and this week there was a story. Now, where the FTR story is going to go, we don't know yet, because early on in the match, FTR was in the ring. Dax Harwood was selling a knee injury. No, I don't believe it was a real injury, but it's a, if it's a storyline injury, where is it leading to? I don't know. But I have to assume it has something to do with the fact that Hangman Page went to the back with FTR. They helped Dax to the back. You know, they've been buddying up to Hangman Page now for weeks. Hangman Page has been friendlier with FTR than he has been with the Elite. So he decided to go. And, you know, in doing so, he left his partners out to dry. It was Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks out there, 3-on-6. It was a handicap situation. Again, all part of the story. All part of the story that's playing out. That's a very big reason why I think I like this match more. FTR, by the way, they're number one. They're the number one contenders for the tag team titles. Our FTR, which plays exactly into the way that I said this was going to play out perfectly, where they become number one contenders, beat a few teams first, right? They get to the number one spot. They get the next crack at the tag team titles. And they're the ones to take the belts off of Omega and Hangman. And then the split, if there's going to be a split with Omega and Hangman, that story can work itself out. But now, FTR have the belts. And if the Young Bucks want to become tag team champions, they have to go after FTR. And then boom, we got our first match. It's perfect. It's perfect. And I assume that's exactly what this is building to. So things are moving along very nicely here with this story. Now, eventually, Hangman did make his way back out. If this were in front of a live crowd, people would be going nuts if they saw Hangman coming back out to the ring to help out his boys. So he came back down. He got the hot tag. He was running wild. I mean, he went nuts. Hangman, and this is one of those moments where I really do miss the live audience. I really do. I really do miss the live audience when it comes to these things. Because he was going crazy. I mean, he was hitting guys left and right, diving out of the ring, back in, diving out on the other side. He was a house of fire, was Hangman Page. And as he took out all the members of the Dark Order with a moonsault off the top, out to the floor. Brody Lee is on the apron. He's just watching. Brody Lee is just watching all of this play out. And eventually it builds to a spot where the both of them are in the ring together. And remember, Brody Lee said to him, "You made a very big mistake by not joining up with us. We're going to watch your back. These guys aren't going to watch your back." So he told him, he goes, you made a very big mistake by turning us down. So it came down here to Hangman and Brody Lee, and they went at it for a little bit. Evil Uno cut off Adam Page with a kick from behind on the apron. I think it was from behind. Colt Cabana tagged in, and he hit the Chicago Skyline where he's up on the ropes. He's got Hangman on his shoulders, and then he just drops. And Hangman falls right across the top rope. He got a near fall out of that. Young Bucks in for a super kick party. Super kicks all over the place with Brody Lee. Brody Lee's in trouble. Snapdragon from Kenny Omega. This sets up the finish where Hangman went for the last call on Lee. Lee ducked. And Brody Lee, he wiped out Hangman Page with that discus lariat. Turned him inside out. He obliterated this guy. That spot was fucking great. That looked picture perfect. From the impact to the way Hangman sold it, I would have been furious if he would have kicked out of that spot, but he didn't, and he got the pin. And this was a match that, now even as I'm not the biggest Dark Order fan, they had to win this match. I mean, they just had to. You know, I mean, it would have been ridiculous. I mean, you may as well just bury him 6 feet under if they can't win this match here. So they get the win. And again, it's storytelling. Hangman's friends screwed him over. His friends weren't there for him in the end when he needed them, and he took the pin, and it cost him the match. So again, plays into the story. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Spanish Goddish, thank you for the super chat. Who do you want to see answer Cody's open challenge in the future? I mean, that's, you know, it's an open-ended question. It depends on who's available. I said all roads should lead eventually to Darby Allin. I think that's far down the road. I'm sure I could put a list together, though, if I took a few minutes to think. Big Armada, 1988. Thank you for the $5. Are you worried that Moxley may become Super Cena if he keeps winning like this? I don't see it that way. John Cena was getting a lot more TV time. You know, John Cena was beating guys left and right at his peak. John Cena was also a bigger star. I mean, let's just be honest. John Cena was a bigger star. He made more money. Could almost excuse it, but not really. At his peak, it was sickening how much he was put over a bunch of different people. Who knows? Who knows who may have been able to break through and become a bigger star if it wasn't just all Cena all the time. I'm not worried about it because I don't know that Moxley is going to have that title for a lot longer. I would think, does he have a shot at losing it all out? I think he does. I wouldn't do it. I would not do it. I love what they're doing with MJF. I would not have MJF beat John Moxley at all out. I think it's too early. And when I say too early, I mean too early for MJF. Not too early for Moxley to lose the title, but I think it's too soon for MJF. And I would wait. And maybe at Full Gear in November, that's where you do it. Whether it's Kenny Omega, whoever it may be, I would probably do it there. I'm not sold that it's the right time for it to be MJF. He's going to be around a long time. MJF's a young guy. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be around a long time. He's the kind of guy this company can build around, like a Hangman Page. Hangman Page, I think, is more ready to be in that position. I wouldn't do it yet. But you know. Everyone's got their opinion. Food Hive. What's going on, Food Hive? Chris Pantaleo. Jackalope Music. Mass Critic. Shayna Baszler is going to be 40, he says, in a couple of days. Is her window of success closing in WWE? And if so, should she ask for a release? Well, she's getting TV time finally. It's almost like they remembered she's under contract. So no, I would not go asking for my release. I think that would be foolish. And Lord Frieza says, Orange Cassidy could easily be the next mayor of Knoxville after watching that debate. I somehow think the current mayor of Knoxville would not necessarily have that same answer on global warming and sea level rise. I don't know, just something tells me his answer might have been a little bit different. But they're both very smart people. Santana and Ortiz against Best Friends. They showed Best Friends earlier in the day parking Trent's mother's van. His mom, Sue. Sue Trent. Well, he's not going by Beretta anymore, right? Sue Beretta is a pretty cool name, actually. I'm just saying. I don't know what his real last name is, but Sue Beretta, that's a pretty badass name. But anyway, it was his mother's van. down by the river. I don't know how many people got that reference. It may be very sad, actually, if a lot of people did not get that reference. Ah, Chris Farley. I miss him. I miss Chris Farley. So they parked the van outside in what was supposed to be a safe place. They said that Trent's mother gave them instructions, please park my van in a safe location so nothing happens to it. And the moment they said that, you knew exactly what was going to happen. It was just a matter of, who's it going to be? Who's going to be the ones doing the damage? But you knew that something bad was going to happen the moment they brought that up. It was just inevitable. It was inevitable. Good stuff here, though. I thought this was a good match. We got a lot of good wrestling to open the show. First half hour, 35 minutes of the show. A lot of really good wrestling on the show. Trent had his feet yanked out from under him on the apron very early on. He landed, took a nasty landing right on the edge of the ring on the way down. And pretty much just sold his back the rest of the way. Trent made a hot tag to Chuck Taylor. Taylor hit Soul Food, used the Falcon Arrow for a near fall. Trent tagged back in. His heels overwhelmed him again. So Santana and Ortiz for the finish. They're setting up for the street sweeper. Here comes Chris, or Chuck. I'm thinking of Chris Farley still. Here comes Chuck knocking Santana off the ropes. Trent then rolled up Ortiz and got the win. So best friends pick up the W. And you know, I'm watching that, and at that point I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, they mentioned on commentary that Santana and Ortiz, I guess, had a three-match win streak, and it was broken tonight. Doesn't really feel like it. You know, Tony Schiavone mentioned on commentary that these guys haven't ranked in the top five since February. And I'm thinking, boy, you know, it's time to get these guys going again. I mean, you know, Ortiz can be funny and all that, but, and they have the affiliation with Chris Jericho. It's not a bad place for them to be associated with one of the top stars in the company. But boy, these guys are treated like nothing special. And you got to get these guys going. You know, LAX used to be a big deal. They're a really good team. Well, this was the first step, obviously, in a program and a story that's building maybe to All Out. Later on in the show, they cut to the parking lot. Santana and Ortiz, they're not happy about that loss, that fluky loss. And so they go over to Trent's mom's minivan, and they destroy it. They destroy the minivan. They took the sock. Oh, the sock. With the ball. Or the eggs. Or the quarters. Or whatever it is that's inside. Baseball, tennis ball, racquetball, foosball, whatever kind of ball. And they're smashing out the windows. They have a sledgehammer. They're bashing the windshield. They're bashing the side windows. They're just destroying this vehicle. And then in the end, they spray paint the name Sue on the hood, put an X over it. Santana looks into the camera, says, "Tell your mom we're good." And Ortiz tosses the sledgehammer. He threw the sledgehammer at the windshield right as he walked away, and it got stuck right, like perfectly right in the windshield. It got wedged right in there. I thought that was great. And they walked off. And I thought to myself, I said, it's about damn time. It's about damn time that we see a harder edge from these guys. I would still like to see them link up with Eddie Kingston. Now that we know Eddie Kingston is officially under contract to AEW, obviously they've had an affiliation before. I'd love to see them link up again. Now, I'm just thinking of all the factions or trios that we see in AEW. And one of them we don't have right now, which is the, oh God, what are they? The Death Triangle with Pac and the Lucha Bros, because Pac is stuck out of the country. That was just getting going when the whole pandemic stuff started. But they have a lot of trios and a lot of groups in AEW. And I think, I'm not always a fan of adding titles necessarily, but I think having a trios championship in this company like they had a Lucha Underground would be a good idea. And I'd love to see LAX link up with Eddie Kingston, and that could be a hell of a trio at some point. So that's something I would love to see. But I don't see them breaking away yet from the Inner Circle. But maybe, you know, post-Inner Circle, I would like to see those guys come together as a trio. Chris, with the $1.99, is it me or is Brody Lee as dull as he was in WWE? Well, it could be the Dark Order stuff. I guess it really depends. If you're a fan of the Dark Order, you probably, you know, enjoy what they're doing. Him in the leadership position, I'm not totally sold on that. That I'm not sold on. Look, I can't say he's lighting my world on fire, but tonight he looked good. I love that finish in the opener. That's what I want to see. I want to see Brody Lee going around beating the hell out of people. But they have other guys, too. They have Lance Archer, who does that. They have Brian Cage, who does that. So I feel like he kind of fits into this same position that they already have, two, three, four other guys doing that same thing. At least he has the Dark Order, I guess, to differentiate himself. Austin Sanders, thank you for the $5. Cameron took AEW's generosity and used it as a bargaining chip to lobby for a WWE return. Absolutely disrespectful. Level 20, Facto Tomb. Hot take, FTR wins the titles when facing the Bucks the first time. FTR flat out beats them. Let FTR have a long reign if the Bucks face them again. And then wins. And Jared M. with the $25. Jared, thank you very much. Jared is always with us every single week. And Food Hive. Food Hive, yet again, thank you for the $5, Food Hive. You the man. Food Hive is great. Food Hive is awesome. Food Hive is fantastic. Don't you think Food Hive is just great? All right, now, MJF. MJF was back at campaign headquarters. They're continuing this whole MJF 2020. He's campaigning to be the AEW champion, right? He had that great speech, that state of the industry address that he gave to us last week. So here he comes out, and he is in this, campaign headquarters. He's yelling at a staffer, this poor guy named Lee, because there's a poster of him on the wall. There is a poster of him on the wall that is not level. And this is very upsetting to MJF, and he you know, says to him, if you were paying attention, you would know that this poster is not level. And then he looks over to one of the female workers there, and he wants to check on his poll numbers. He wants to check his poll. He's taking my gimmick. I'm the one who checks the poll numbers every week. This guy's stealing my thunder over here, but I'll let it slide. It's all right. It's all right. Now, unlike my numbers, though, his numbers seem a little doctored, because they showed the results of the poll, and his, I guess it's a popularity poll, I guess, and he's got a perfect 100% rating, and Jon Moxley has minus 88%. I didn't know that was mathematically possible, but apparently it is. So, plus 100 for MJF, minus 88, negative 88 for poor Jon Moxley. So the camera guy, as they're ending the segment, the camera guy says to MJF, what if Darby Allin wins tonight? Because tonight was an AEW championship match in the main event. And MJF just looks at him and goes, oh, you mean what if the 125-pound kid, emo kid won tonight? Like, okay, oh yeah, I'd be really upset if the 120-pound emo kid won the championship tonight. He goes, yeah, that would suck to have to wrestle that guy for the world title. I thought this segment was great. I thought this segment was fantastic. Where can I cast my ballot for MJF? I want to cast my ballot right now for MJF, even though I would not put the title on him. It's nothing personal. Just booking-wise, I don't think the timing is right, but I want to cast my ballot for MJF. Can I send in my mail-in ballot? Am I allowed to do that? Can I send my mail-in ballot in right now? You know, the way that they have mail being delayed all across the country right now, I'd have to send my ballot in right now, and then maybe he would actually get it by All In or All Out, whatever they're calling that show. It would probably take a month just to get there. So Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy was in the ring for a promo, and he was talking about how everybody wants to just see him come out and be himself. I don't know if I'm totally sold on that idea, but that's what he said. Talked about the young, hungry talent in AEW. He name-dropped Private Party, who he's been friendly with on television. And then he mentioned Sammy Guevara. And he said Sammy didn't bother to take his advice. He tried to give Sammy some good advice about getting away from Chris Jericho and getting away from the Inner Circle, and he didn't take his advice. And not only did he not take his advice, he said, Sammy, you gave me the middle finger to the face, and I no longer desire to help you. He goes, instead, I want to hurt you. I desire to hurt you. And out comes Sammy, who gets his clock cleaned by Matt. Matt's kicking his ass. I mean, they're outside the ring, and Matt's just beating on this kid. Sammy got the upper hand eventually, and he lays Matt across a table that Matt himself had set up outside the ring, just like a regular wooden table. Sets him up on top of the table. Sammy goes and grabs a chair, and he chucks this chair right at Matt's head, right at his face. And Matt, he got his like his hands up, or he tried to anyway, to cover, because that chair was coming in just high and fast. And he was trying to cover up, and apparently he didn't do a good enough job, because that chair obviously clipped him in the head. It looked nasty, but at first you didn't really see anything. You know, Matt's kind of checking his head to make sure he's okay and there's no blood. And I didn't see any blood at first. I'm like, oh, that was a close call. You know, that could have ended really badly. But then Sammy climbs up on the stage, right? So he's going to do a dive. He's going to do a move. He's going to come crashing through the table. He climbs up onto the stage. He dives off. And as he dives off and the table breaks, the table we see where Matt's head was is covered in blood. Like, there is a puddle of blood on this table. And then you look at Matt Hardy and then you see half of his face just bleeding a gusher. Covered in blood, half his face wearing the proverbial crimson mask, blood everywhere. I mean, he split this guy open. And by the way, that spinning senton that Sammy did off the stage was pretty insane, too. This was no ordinary dive. I mean, he did a senton, but he just, the way he rotated, it was a crazy, you know, dive. But no comedy. There was nothing funny about this. We're used to seeing Sammy Guevara in these comedy skits. He's very good at it. He's very entertaining. No comedy. No comedy at all from Sammy this week. Maybe a little bit when he came out for the Jericho segment. He was holding up some signs, but it was brief. And, you know, even if he didn't plan, I'm sure the plan was not to bust open Matt. You know, did he blade? If he did, I didn't see it. I mean, look, he was bleeding, so I'm pretty sure that was hard way. But you know what? Even if it wasn't the plan, I don't want to say I'm happy it happened, but I think it adds to it a lot. Because we haven't seen a side of Sammy Guevara, like a real tough side of Sammy. Sammy comes out, he's smiling, he's goofing off all the time. And here we got to see a different side of him, which I think is important because clearly they're building to a match at the pay-per-view. Now is the time. You've got to build up to these matches. Nobody wants to see a comedy match. They want to know that if there's a personal issue between the two, what's the issue? Well, he went out there tonight and he split this guy's goddamn head open. I'd say that's pretty personal. Sammy came up. When he got up from the dive, he had blood all over his body. He had Matt Hardy's blood all over him. So I think it enhanced the angle. I think it made it better. And we saw a harder edge. We saw a harder edge here to Sammy Guevara. And I said the same thing about Santana and Ortiz. Earlier. It's good to see a harder edge to these guys and not just comedy and ha-ha. You know, we're heading into a pay-per-view. They're building up to these matches. It's time to get serious. And that's what they did here on this show. I thought this was a great way to do it, even if that wasn't exactly their... maybe that wasn't their plan. Maybe that wasn't their intent. But nonetheless, I thought that was a good way for them to go about doing it. We got more Super Chats here, including Oz and Glorious. Thank you for the five. Do you see a WWE talent jumping ship mid-contract, possibly with a belt? No. No, I don't. The True Heel Master. Britt Baker gets kidnapped by Big Swole. I thought that said Big Show for a second. I said, what kind of storyline are you coming up with here? Britt Baker gets kidnapped by Big Swole. The Butcher and the Blade steals FTR's truck. And now Santana and Ortiz destroy Trent's mom's van. The FBI is coming. I think the FBI is a little preoccupied with Marty Jannetty right now. Or they should be. And Cashmere 93, of course, FTR will win the titles. We got to get all those belts on the WWE guys. So somebody who's not a fan of getting belts on guys who just came from WWE. See, that I don't mind. To me, FTR, they've been dying to get out of that company for so long. I can't hate on that. They shouldn't be punished because, well, they just came from WWE. These guys were checked out a year ago. They were just counting down the days waiting to get out of there. Unlike Anderson and Gallows, they stuck to their guns and they left. So good for them. And now they're reaping the rewards. They're reaping the benefits for it. Why should they be punished? Now, if they put a title on Matt Cardona, then that's a whole other story. then my opinion might change on the whole subject. Cody, speaking of which, perfect timing. Cody and Matt Cardona against Alex Reynolds and John Silver of the Dark Order. A little too much Dark Order on this show. Cardona got pyro. Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder got pyro. What was the last time we saw Zack Ryder get pyro? On July 4th. That's about the only pyro he probably would have got. That's a big moment for him. And by the way, for those of you who may have missed the update, he is only signed to a short-term contract. So Cardona may not be sticking around for very long. It is said to be for 5 appearances. And he admitted, he didn't say it was 5 appearances, but he did come out this week and say, yeah, you know, it's a short-term deal. Don't worry about it. So he may not be around as long as some of us think he will be. But look, I fully expect him to end up here in the end. I don't know what game he's playing. Maybe he wants to just play the field. I fully expect the landing spot for him is probably going to be AEW. But who knows? You know, he may make a couple of appearances here, and then his buddy Curt Hawkins is at Impact. Maybe he'll show up in the Impact Zone. Now, who knows? He's keeping his options open. He's keeping his options open. He spent the first half of the match on the apron cheerleading Cody. Cody was in the ring getting his ass kicked, and he was just, he was in a bad way. So Cardona finally gets the hot tag, and he runs wild. He hits double underhook powerbomb on Alex Reynolds for a near fall. Cody, he hits Silver. Long John Silver hits him with a cutter. Reynolds sends Cody outside the ring. Silver and Reynolds, they double up on Cardona. Cody and Silver, they did the old, Bret Hart and Dynamite Kid suplex out over the top rope spot. I love that spot, but I always cringe. It's a dangerous spot to do. And in the end, Cardona gets the win. He hits the Rough Rider, which he is now calling Radio Silence. If you know his old theme music from WWE, what was the name of it? It had the word radio in it. Oh, radio, right? That's how it starts. Oh, radio. I love you so. I don't remember how it goes. So he's calling it Radio Silence. No, the match was nothing special. I didn't think this match was great at all. And I'm glad Cardona he's a free man now. He's looking good. He's looking healthy and jacked, and he's happy and good for him. I'm going to give him the old OC thumbs up. Good for him. I didn't think this was anything special. So that's my thoughts on that match. The real story was after the match, because I thought maybe they're going to do something with Cody and Cardona. Cardona was out on the apron for the first half of the match. I thought maybe he's going to pull a Sid. And when Cody goes for the tag, he's going to jump down, but he didn't do that. But when Cody was going back through the entrance tunnel, out to confront him was Scorpio Sky. And Scorpio Sky tapped on the TNT title, and he walked away. And that's going to be your TNT title match next week. I wasn't sure if that was going to be it all out, but they made the announcement that that match is going to be taking place next week. Best friends were not happy when they found out what happened to Trent's mother's van. They were not happy at all. And Trent said that he's going to make them apologize to Mama Trent on speakerphone. I hope they do that on TV. If they're going to do that, they have to do it on TV. And it was then time for their buddy Orange Cassidy. My man, OC. He was out for the great debate, the great Super Wednesday is what they were calling it, the big debate with Chris Jericho, ahead of their big rematch on Dynamite next week. Hey, Red Emissary of Darkness. Thank you for the $2. He thinks they used the blood capsule. Maybe. I mean, that was usually with the blood capsule, it's from the mouth. This looked like it was from the head, but I will have to go back and see. You may be right. And Khalid Adam, we need more Rebel on this show. Reba, got to get it right. No more Rebel. Rebel is dead. It's Reba. Like Bobby Heenan said at WrestleMania 8, when Reba McEntire was leaving just as Tito Santana was coming in, and he said, that's his sister, Reba McEntire. It's Reba. So the big mystery around this debate all week long, which wasn't much of a mystery if you knew the spoilers, which I talked about on the podcast on Sunday, is who is going to be the moderator? Who is going to be the moderator for this great debate? And not really a surprise to me because I already knew the answer, but it was, in fact, Eric Bischoff, the former executive director of SmackDown, who lasted in the position for all of 4 months. Was it 4 months? May not have even been 4 months. I want to say 4 months. But before that, he was also the general manager of Raw. He held the position of authority in Impact Wrestling, and going way back, He was the mastermind behind the glory days of WCW. And they even mentioned here on this show, this was his first appearance on TNT in 20 years, since the summer of 2000. That was the last time Eric Bischoff appeared on TNT. And now he's back, and he's better than ever. So this was the debate format. Five questions, as put forth on social media, various social media platforms. They claimed, anyway, that's where they got the questions from. Judging by the quality of the questions, I can believe they did get them from social media. Bischoff was seated at a table. He was seated at like a dais on the stage. I like the way they shot this. So, you know, they have that elevated ramp in the stage at Daly's Place. So they had Bischoff at a table right in the middle. And in the ring on either side, they had podiums. And Jericho was at one podium, and Orange Cassidy was at the other podium. And so that's how they worked this whole thing. Jericho comes out. He's wearing a $10,000 black suit, looking rather dapper. He cleaned up for the occasion. Jericho was out there looking snazzy. He had Jake Hager behind him carrying the orange juice stained suit that Orange Cassidy destroyed many weeks ago to the tune of $7,000 or so, he claims. So Jericho was the first to answer the first question. And the first question was, why does Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy, why do they hate each other so much? That was the question. And Jericho says, first of all, I'm happy that Orange Cassidy dressed for the occasion. Orange Cassidy was wearing what he wears every week. He was wearing denim and jeans and sunglasses, because that's what Orange Cassidy wears. That's his getup. That's his wardrobe. But he came prepared, because he pulled out a black clip-on tie and he clipped the tie to his shirt. So now all of a sudden he went from casual to formal in the blink of an eye, just like that. Jericho calls him a joke, calls him a ginger jackass. No response. Orange Cassidy has no response. Question two. Who is the better wrestler and who is the bigger star? And Jericho had a nice laugh. Jericho had a very nice laugh at that question. And, you know, gave the usual answer about why he, you know, again, he's a joke and he's, you know, not on my level. And again, Orange Cassidy is not, he's no selling all of this. He's not answering any of the questions. He's not saying anything. He's not doing anything. Question number three is about sea level rise. The rise in sea level. AJ Styles has heard a few things about that. He's not saying that sea level rise is not a real thing. He's not disagreeing. He's not a sea level denier. But he's heard some things. He's heard some things. I'm sorry. I just love taking little digs there. Anyway, what are your thoughts on this situation with sea level rise in the world? And Chris Jericho says, what kind of question is that? Why would you even ask that question? And Orange Cassidy, for the first time, he speaks, or at least during this debate, for the first time, he speaks. He opens his mouth and he gives this very detailed, very articulate answer about sea level rise. He's giving measurements and he sounds like a scientist. The only thing missing was a white lab coat. He was wearing denim instead of the white lab coat. So Chris Jericho was blown away by this. He couldn't believe it. Not only does the man speak, but he's got a brain. I always knew he had a brain. He's a smart guy. Next question. Why is Orange Cassidy so popular? Jericho says, you are the epitome of every smart mark fan out there. You're arrogant. You're entitled. I am not arrogant, just for the record. But he says he's arrogant and entitled, and you're a pimple on the ass of pro wrestling. Jericho says he's going to beat him next week for the second time. When I do, you're going to owe me $7,000 for this jacket. I guess that's the stipulation. If Chris Jericho wins, Orange Cassidy owes him $7,000. And Orange Cassidy will then have to leave AEW and quit wrestling and go back to Jamba Juice. And take Chris Jericho's order, and Jericho will be sure not to give him a tip when he goes into the store. Orange Cassidy's response, there is none. Again, radio silence from Orange Cassidy. Last question. why does this rematch mean so much to both guys? And Jericho goes to speak, and Orange Cassidy pipes up again. And this was the big, this was the moment where the segment changed, because up until this point, it was all comedy, right? Jericho's making fun of him. Orange Cassidy's just standing there. He's not saying anything. And this is the moment where the segment turned and they went into promo mode for the pay-per-view. Well, not for the pay-per-view, I guess, but for the match next week. I thought this was at the... It feels like it probably should be at the pay-per-view, but they're doing the match on TV next week. But they went into hype mode. They went into serious hype mode, and Orange Cassidy, they picked this to be the spot where he cut his first real promo on AEW television. And I thought he did a hell of a job here. He told Chris Jericho, he says, shut up. He says, I know what you're doing. I know what this is. You're scheduling a debate against a guy who doesn't speak. You're trying to embarrass me. He goes, I don't care. I don't care about you. I don't care about next week. He does care about next week. Jericho doesn't care. I care. It's important to me. He goes, I care about this match next week. It's the biggest match of my life. He goes, it's also the biggest match of your life. Which is a lie, but we'll go with it. He said, can you imagine Chris Jericho, the legendary Chris Jericho? He's done it all the things that he's accomplished in his career. What if Jericho loses to the guy that puts his hands in his pants pockets? And then he takes the sunglasses off. Now you know shit's getting real because this guy took the sunglasses off. He takes the sunglasses off and he stares Jericho from across the ring dead in his eye. And he tells Jericho to look into his eyes, look at the man that's going to embarrass you, and look at the man that's going to beat you next week. And Eric Bischoff declares Orange Cassidy to be the winner of the debate. Jericho says, you can't do that. And then he says to Bischoff, I haven't liked you in 22 years. And Bischoff said, it's 24, and I feel the same way. They used to not like each other, but they've been friends for a while. So Jericho sicks Jake Hager on Orange Cassidy. Hager laid a vicious beatdown on this guy. He beat the piss out of this guy. Took Orange Cassidy's own hands, put him in his own pants pockets. And then he sent him into Jericho. Jericho hit the Judas effect, knocked him out. Best friends came out. Yeah, some best friends. They wait until their friend is basically murdered in the middle of the ring, and then they come out. They're so preoccupied by Sue's van, her freaking minivan out back, that they neglected their poor friend who was getting his ass kicked in the middle of the ring. Fuck the van. The van's already destroyed. There ain't nothing you could do about it. I don't think Sue will mind. So they came out a little too late to make the save. I thought this segment worked. I don't know. I haven't seen what other people's opinions are about it. Maybe it's a polarizing segment. Maybe some people hated it. I liked it. It had just the right amount of comedy. And it ended at the right moment. If it was all comedy, I don't know that I would have been a big fan of this because they're building a big match for next week on TV. But at the moment that they had to get serious about things, they got serious. And I think they picked a great moment and a great time for Orange Cassidy to get serious, take the sunglasses off, and actually cut a promo and show that he could speak. He's been a mute up until this point. And all I hear from people is, well, I don't see the appeal of this guy. Can't cut a promo. He just stands there. All he does is dive. They're peeling back the layers of the character. I said from the beginning, I said, look, I like Orange Cassidy, but he's not going to be able to do this gimmick for the next year, year and a half, 2 years. It has a short shelf life, just doing the I'm not going to talk and I'm going to stand there shit. I've seen the guy wrestle independent matches. They're building to it. They're going to peel back the layers of the character to reveal more because they have to. He can't just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And now it looks like they're beginning to finally show these other layers of the character. And I thought that this segment worked. I thought this segment did a very good job of hyping the matchup next week. And I thought they picked the right moment to have him speak his first words, his first real words in AEW. Oofman Entertainment. Thank you, Oofman. He's holding down things in the chat. He is one of our wrenches. So please give him a debt of gratitude and say thank you to the Oofman. And Tyler Hansen, do you think Orange Cassidy is a future champion? Maybe a TNT champion. Do I think he's a future AEW champion? I do not. I do not. But I definitely could see him with the TNT title at some point. Or if they ever do introduce Trios titles, him and the Best Friends, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Dr. Britt Baker says that Big Swole has to beat somebody in order for Big Swole to get the match with her at All Out, which is when she's going to make her big return to the ring. She's in her wheelchair. And she says the person that Big Swole tonight is going to have to face is going to be Reba. And that was news to Reba. Reba was caught off guard by this announcement. She was not necessarily happy about this. And so she got in the ring for a match with Big Swole. Britt Baker was outside the ring in her wheelchair with a megaphone in her hand, doing her best Mouth of the South impression. I guess they are in the South, right? They're in Florida. She was the Mouth of the South for one night. The big highlight, and I use that word lightly because there were no highlights in this match, but the big moment was Reba going to the top, teasing that she was going to do a moonsault, but she was wobbly. She almost lost her balance, so she stepped down to the middle rope, hit a moonsault, crashed and burned. She missed, and Big Swole hit the dancing, dirty dancing, which is the forearm to the face. She pinned Reba. Thank God it was kept short. This was no good. This was a means to an end. This was a means to get to the point where Big Swole can earn her way to a match with Britt Baker. They have accomplished that, and now we move on. But this was no good. This was the worst thing on the entire show, by far. But it was kept short. If they would have dragged this thing on for 6, 7, 8 minutes, it would have been worse. Best thing I could say about it is that it was kept short. That is indeed the best thing that I could say. The moonsault, Darlene in the chat says the moonsault off the second rope was impressive. You know, I saw her wrestle in Impact. It's not like she has no wrestling experience before. I don't know when the last time was that she was wrestling on a regular basis. She's an athlete. She is an athlete. I seem to remember that she may have had a, I don't know if it was a sports background or a cheerleading background. I don't remember her whole story. Somebody can go to her Wikipedia page and tell me. So, yeah, I mean, the moonsault was impressive aside from the fact that she missed. But it's not like she, botched the moonsault or anything like that. So it was good. Then it was main event time. AEW Championship on the line. Darby Allin, the number 5 contender for the AEW title, leapfrogging everybody else. We know MJF is getting his shot at All Out. But what about number 2, number 3, and number 4? What do they think about it? And I checked the rankings, too. You know, we got Lance Archer, Brian Cage, and Brody Lee in that order. They're the other people ahead of Darby Allin in line to get a shot at the title. Why is Darby Allin at number 5 getting a crack at the belt? It's not even like they shot a big angle tonight that would lead to, okay, that's why they did it. You know, Brian Cage, he's got a bone to pick with Darby. He came out. No. They did a straight match. MJF and Wardlow did get involved briefly, but otherwise it was a clean finish and they went off the air. So other than just to do a special match 1 week, I don't know if I'm Lance Archer, Brody Lee, or Brian Cage, I'm fucking pissed. How does this little guy here, right? The 3 big guys in the company, by the way, 3 of the biggest guys on that roster, Brody Lee, Brian Cage, and Lance Archer, all get overlooked and leapfrogged by the 190-pound guy. Or as MJF said, the 125-pound emo guy. If I were them, I'd be upset. So Darby walked out wearing a paper mask. He walked out wearing a paper mask of John Moxley's face over his own face. And Moxley slapped the mask off his face. He was ripping at it. He was smacking him around so much that Darby had a bloody mouth. So more blood on the show. We weren't done with the blood, by the way. Got a lot of blood on the show tonight, fake or otherwise. We got a lot of blood on this show. I'm sure this was, smack somebody in the face, it's not that hard to bust their mouth open. Just ask Charlotte Flair or Sasha Banks. They went through phases. Sasha Banks went through a phase in her career where every single match she would come up with like a bloody mouth. And now Charlotte Flair is the one. Every match she has, she comes up with a bloody mouth. You get popped in the face, you're going to get busted open. That's what happens. So they had a match. A good chunk of it happened in picture in picture. It's hard to pay attention to what's even going on picture in picture. I don't like picture in picture. I think it's dumb. I mean, I'm not complaining loudly about it. I just, I'm not a fan of it. They come back from break. That's where things pick up. And Darby Allin hits a code red on John Moxley for a near fall. Moxley Germaned him off the top at one point. So Moxley wasn't up on top with him, but he grabbed him and he kind of Germaned him backwards and he over-rotated and landed right on his face, did Darby. So here comes Wardlow. And Wardlow comes out and he's there for the distraction. MJF, while the referee is distracted, he slips in with the AEW title belt, wallops Moxley in the head with it, exits out the other side. So when Moxley comes up, he is bloody. That, I'm sure, was a blade job. I didn't see it, but I'm sure this one, unlike the Matt Hardy stuff, which I'm not convinced was, he comes up bloody. But before that, they teased the near fall. This was a great near fall. They had me for a split second there. They had me convinced. Because Darby covered this guy. It was a very, very near fall. But he kicked out. So Moxley's all bloody. And he had hit, Darby did, a coffin drop successfully earlier in the match. He went for another one. It's the old going to the well one too many times. He goes up for the coffin drop, and as he comes off of the coffin drop, Moxley catches him right in position for a rear naked choke. He's got the sleeper hold on him. He's trying to put this kid out, and he ends up giving Darby a gotch-style pile driver. Minoru Suzuki would be proud. And Darby kicks out. And the announcers, they can't believe that somebody kicked out of the gotch. I didn't know the gotch was so devastating. So he grabs Darby, he gives him the paradigm shift, and that's all it took. One paradigm shift, and he pins him 1, 2, 3. So Darby Allin yet again falls short in the ring against Jon Moxley. I don't think anybody expected a title change coming into the show. But kudos to them for that near fall. That was the near fall was well done. The match was good. I thought it was a very good main event to cap off what was a very good episode of Dynamite. There was a lot more to like than not to like on this show. I think the Britt Baker segment was just completely useless and stupid. But a lot of the other stuff, I mean, even the Cody and Cardona match, I thought was pretty weak. Everything else on this show I enjoyed. Or in some cases, thought it was very good. So I would call that a strong show. Now, next Wednesday, it's Cody against Scorpio Sky for the TNT title. Chris Jericho against Orange Cassidy. I guess you could call it the $7,000 match. And it is Tag Team Appreciation Night. Tag Team Appreciation Night with Kenny Omega and Hangman Page against Jurassic Express. Evil Uno and Stu Grayson of the Dark Order taking on the Young Bucks, and a special appearance by Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, and the Rock and Roll Express, two of the greatest tag teams of all time. The Horsemen, or Brainbusters, call them what you will, and the Rock and Roll Express, who earlier this year were the NWA Tag Team Champions. At 60-something years old, Ricky Morton's still going out there doing Canadian Destroyers. Although it looks like their time in the NWA may be over, because we don't know what's happening with the NWA. So they're going to be on the show next week. Interesting in the little fist graphic. They put a graphic up on screen, Tag Team Appreciation Night, and they had a fist in the middle. And on the fist, if you looked, on the knuckles were the initials FTR. It was the hashtag FTR on the knuckles. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And I believe that was a stipulation in their contract, wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken, a few weeks ago on TV when they had the contract signing. Didn't they say something about Tag Team Appreciation Night? I thought they did. So now they're in the graphics. So that's on the show next week. Let us take a look at where things stand. And I hope, by the way, that visually you are enjoying the show. Always trying to upgrade for you guys. Always trying to make things cooler. Always trying to make things better for you guys. So I do appreciate any and all feedback that you do send my way. But this is the AEW Twitter poll results as things stand so far. An excellent score. Almost 1,000 votes in. And it's 82% thumbs up and roughly 18% thumbs down as compared to NXT, which if we go to NXT, that's me. But the NXT poll, not as good. I mean, I feel like it's pretty much the same story every week. You know, I mean, both shows do well. Both shows get positive ratings every single week. AEW usually gets more votes. You know, it's not even a matter of It's not a matter of a rigged election. It's a matter of the AW polls get more votes, even though they both go up at the same time. And NXT just usually trails by a little bit more. 68.7% thumbs up, 31.3% thumbs down, with roughly 800 votes in as of this moment. So you can go on Twitter. There you see the handle. It's on your screen, right in front of your face, at Solomonster. And you, too, can vote on which you thought was the better of the two shows. I do like my polls. And I hope you do, too. I hope you like my polls as well. I also hope you like some of the phone calls that we're going to be taking tonight. We are going to take some of your calls. So let's get on into it here, and we'll take a few before we wrap up here on tonight's stream. 501.
Good evening, Solomonster.
Good evening.
I have one question regarding the Jurassic Express.
Sure.
I was wondering, do you feel it's time that maybe Jungle Boy should pull a Rockers-like breakup from them and go on his own in a singles run, or do you think he's still
a Rockers-like breakup?
Still enough steam?
So are you insinuating that he should take Marco's stunt and just throw him through a window, or does it have to be that way?
That would be nice.
But. Okay. Funny, you should bring up a rocker style breakup on a day where we got where Marty Jannetty was trending on social media.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
For all the wrong reasons. No, I don't think he needs to. I think at some point Jungle Boy is one of those young stars they have on the roster, like a Darby Allin, like a Sammy Guevara, who eventually will break out on his own, and I think he's going to be a big star, and I think he'll benefit when we get people back in the buildings because people like him. You know, he's a good wrestler. He's, you know, a flashy wrestler, but he's a likable guy. So I don't think he needs to go heel. I don't think he needs to turn on them. Should he ditch the silly Jurassic gimmick? I think he will, but, you know, you don't have to. I don't think it's anything that has to be done in the near future. I think at some point, like if I look ahead 3 years, 5 years down the road, assuming he's still with AEW, you know, we may have Jack Perry. Coming out with a suit and tie on TV, you know? I think in due time that we'll get to see that side of him eventually.
Well, do you think he'll probably just be better off going by his own name? Would that get him over more?
But that implies that he's not over now. I disagree with that. By saying it would get him over more implies that he's not over now. He's already over. I mean, Jurassic Express as a whole, they're all over, but Jungle Boy's over.
I'm saying
anything else?
But, yeah, I heard.
He's already over.
Situation. Like AEW, to me, is like, you know, that, you know, bright, you know, beacon after that depressing, you know, news.
Yeah, I mean, both these shows, NXT and AEW, I'm telling you, man, Wednesday nights. Wednesday night wrestling is usually the shining beacon of the wrestling week. Very rare that I don't enjoy either show. Some I enjoy better than others. NXT's had a few strong weeks. You know, we'll see tonight once I have a chance to watch it. But I consider them both to be shining beacons in our weekly wrestling viewing. And judging from the feedback I get, I think a lot of you feel the same way. 646.
Hey, Solomonster, how you doing? It's JC Zephyr. How you doing?
Hey, JC Zephyr. What's going on?
I'm good, man. Can't complain. I enjoyed tonight's show. I mean, the main event to me was pretty solid. The debate was classic, and I got to say, you are really good with that. I got to say, you're really good at that debate. So awesome job, dude.
I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you do.
No idea.
But yeah. I just wanted to ask. Everyone's been talking about that people are getting tired of Moxley. He's getting a little bit in that Dean Ambrose territory. Aside from him being stale because of the crowd, what else do you think would make him interesting again?
I'm not sure I agree with that. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that opinion that he is. I think his run has been relatively uneventful. I think he was definitely hurt. by the lack of crowds and everything that's been going on. I don't think it would have been Brody Lee against him at Double or Nothing. I think it would have been maybe it would have been MJF. I think it would have been a different match. But, you know, his reign has been lacking. But I think he's still a popular guy. You know, if you have people back in the building, they'd still go wild for him. He'd be coming through the crowds. So this notion that he's not over, that he's not as popular, what can we do to save this guy? I think it's all hyperbole. I don't think we're at that point yet where he needs to be spiced up or he needs to be saved. Eventually, he will go heel. And I think he probably, well, I think he works better. I do. I think he probably works better as a heel. So he's been a babyface ever since he debuted, right? Over a year ago.
Yeah. And
when he goes heel, he'll get to show a different side of himself, you know, in terms of his promos, in terms of selling more for the baby. I mean, it's a totally different ballgame when you're out there as a top heel than it is when you're a top babyface. So maybe that's what we need to just wait for, you know, wait for the heel turn. And then maybe he'll be more interesting to people.
I mean, he kind of came off more to me like as a tweener more than just a bright-eyed babyface when he debuted anyway, which I liked. I liked that, like the mystique.
Well, he was the outsider.
He just comes in. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, he was just out there, just coming in there, just kicking ass and leaving. Just that's all he did. But when you put him doing promos like these, it kind of, I understand where people are coming from. I don't have any problem with Moxley. I actually like him more than he was in, WWE. It gives him more freedom, and I appreciate the fact that they're giving him the leeway to be this way. So I know this pandemic kind of hindered his title run and his response to the wrestling fans at home. Doesn't bother me. It just sucks that he has to be in this position. But again, what are you going to do?
It's circumstances out of his control.
I agree. Well, thanks a lot, Solomon, sir. And hope you have a good night and hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you, brother. Call back again soon. It's a lot of people. Hangman, you know, a lot of people, man, missing out on these big crowd reactions, these big moments. This is a lost year. You know, it's out of their, it's not their fault, but because they're not getting that feedback from the people doesn't mean that the people watching at home aren't still cheering for them. So this, again, when it comes to Jungle Boy or Jon Moxley, you know, don't assume, what can we do to kind of save these guys or, you know, get them over again? They're still over. They're still over. It's just, it's not, you know, pro wrestling, the easy metric is you watch the shows, right? You hear the feedback from the fans. You see the feedback from the fans. And so that usual metric is missing now. And so it's hard to gauge what's over and what's not. But all these guys that were over in February, you know, at the Revolution pay-per-view, they're still over now, believe me. Once we get crowds back in the buildings, these people are going to go nuts. I think once we get back in the buildings, they'll go nuts for fucking John Silver. I think people are just going to be happy to be back. I can't wait for the reactions. Only problem is I don't know when we're going to have full capacity. We might have like 20%, 30%, but when we get real people back in the buildings, I'm looking forward to those reactions. I feel like people are just dying, right? They're dying to go nuts. They'll react to anybody on the show. The fucking popcorn guy will come out. He'll get a big ovation. The cotton candy guy on the other side of the building, he'll get a you deserve it chant, right? The ice cream man, welcome back. Everyone's going to get a big reaction when fans get back in the buildings. I can't wait. It gives us something to look forward to. You got to try to think positive, right? You got to keep an open mind and keep a positive attitude about things. Power of positivity. Am I right, 970? Power of positivity?
Yeah, man. I have power of positivity for Big E's single run coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Solomon, sir, I just have two quick questions. Do you think if the Dark Order had waited to debut until it was Brody Lee, like he was revealed as a leader, they would be looked at differently? Because I think a lot of like the hatred towards them comes from like their original presentation and Evil Uno being the original leader. And for me, it was just, they kind of look Bush League, and I'm not saying everybody has to look like a bodybuilder or like Drew McIntyre, but I mean, Evil Uno, you know, to his credit, he's lost a lot of weight, which good for him. But the original debut, it just kind of looked Bush League to me. And my follow-up question to that is, how much do you think a physique matters in modern-day wrestling? And I'll hang up and listen.
I think, and I would probably agree with that first point about Brody. As far as the physique question, I think it matters. It's a cosmetic industry. I mean, you're on TV. I mean, look, what is pro wrestling? What are we really watching every week? For God's sakes, right? We're watching a bunch of dudes basically wrestling around with each other. They got their shirts off. I mean, if somebody who wasn't a wrestling fan walked in the room and saw what you were watching, they would be like, what are you doing here? You know, what? This is how you spend your nights? But physiques are important, even still, all these years later. It's not the era of the muscle man the way it was in the 1980s in WWF, but it's a cosmetic industry. You're on television, right? You're working out. You go out there. It's part of the presentation, how you dress, how you look, your music, everything. It's all part of the package. I don't think it means as much as it did 30 years ago, but it's still very important. You can't go out there. I mean, if you're going to go out there with an average physique, right? And remember, Jim Ross was on commentary months ago ripping on Chuck Taylor's physique, which I don't think Taylor was very happy about. Chuck Taylor's a charismatic guy. He's not, you know, I mean, he hasn't exactly been featured as a big, big, big star in AEW, but he's got a pretty safe role on the show. But you want to look the part. I think you do want to look the part. And the people who don't look the part, more often than not, they're bringing something else to the table. Maybe they could do something flashy that the big guys can't do. Maybe they could talk really well. Right? So it's part of the package. To me, it's not the most important thing, but it's important. You're going to be on TV. You got to look presentable. Simple as that. That's my attitude about it. But you should not be judged just based on your physique. You should not have your push or your television time determined solely on the basis of your physique and how many abs and how, you know, how big your muscles are. That should not be the primary deciding factor the way it would have been all those many years ago. We need to just leave that in the past. Let's go to 631.
Hello, Solomon. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Hi. I just got two quick questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
With this Matt Cardona stuff, I mean, I don't know. We don't know if he's like directly signed yet or if he will sign. But I'm thinking that for this TNT title run or for the Blake with Cody, I think you do like these tag matches with him and Cody, and like maybe few weeks, maybe a week or so before All Out, Cardona turns on Cody, and then you have a TNT title match between the two at All Out. And I don't know if he will sign, but if that's the road they want to go down, I don't know if they could see him winning, if you could see him winning against Cody. But
I could. Yeah, no, look, I mean, here's my take on that. And I think you might be going down the right road here because I thought maybe they were going to save the Scorpio Sky match for the pay-per-view, and they're not. They're doing it on TV next week. I don't think Scorpio Sky is going to win. You never know. I mean, I could believe that Scorpio Sky would get maybe like a shock win more than I could a lot of the other people they put Cody in the ring with recently. I don't think he will. So the fact that they're not doing that match at the pay-per-view, Cardona just debuted. Cardona was tagging with Cody tonight and got the win. It's very likely that they are going to build to a TNT title match at All Out between Cardona and Cody. Now, if Cardona's only signed to 5 appearances or half a dozen appearances, it would be foolish to put the championship on him. Is that a red herring? You know, maybe they want you to think he's only signed to a short-term deal when he's really not. I don't know. Unless I've seen the contract, I can't be 100% sure. Would I put the title on him? Would I put the title on Matt Cardona? Me personally, I would not. I would not. He would not be my first choice. But if they got big plans for him, or if he's going to, you know, turn on his friend Cody between now and then, and maybe they push ahead with that as a program coming out of the pay-per-view, we'll see. Here's the thing. We've never really had the chance to see Zack Ryder. He's still Zack Ryder to me. Never had the chance to really see Zack Ryder in a major program. What was the biggest program that he's ever been part of? Dolph Ziggler, when he won the U.S. title, right? When he was in the midst of all that popularity he had back in 2011, right? And The Rock was talking about him in his big return promo in Survivor Series 2011 when the show went off the air. And I think the next month he won the U.S. title from Ziggler. Was there a bigger match or a bigger program that he was involved in? I mean, he won the Intercontinental Championship and the Money in the Bank. Right, or not Money in the Bank, but he won the title of WrestleMania 32. Big moment for him, right? And then he lost it the very next night. That probably was like the pinnacle of his career. But what's the biggest feud or program that he's been part of? He got the shit kicked out of him by Kane. The stuff what was her name? I was a big fan of hers too. And now her name escapes me. Eve. Thank you. There we go. Eve. Eve Torres, where Eve rebuffed him. Remember, he was in the wheelchair with the neck brace and everything. So this is his first opportunity if they go with him in this role. And maybe if he goes heel, I don't know, to really shine in a high mid-card position and go on TV and cut serious promos. We've never seen him do this before. Maybe he'll come out on television in a few weeks and cut an impassioned promo and blow everybody away. And maybe then I'll have a change of heart. But right now, it's Zack Ryder coming into AEW, and people are talking about putting titles on him. And I think that that is not the way to go. When they conceived of this open challenge concept, I mean, I had Darby in mind, but I could think of other young stars from AEW who would be great to get a win or a shock win or something over Cody. And Cardona was not ever on my list. So I'm not a fan of that idea. He could win me over. I don't see it. But I do see that most likely being the pay-per-view match, because who else would he defend the title against? Why else are they doing this stuff with Cardona, linking him up with Cody? It can only make sense if he's going to get, you know, one of the next shots. If he's going to be next in line, maybe it all out to challenge for the championship. That's what makes sense. But to do the title change, I'm not sold. I'm not sold on that. Jared.
Jason, what's up?
Hello, my friend. Did you survive the storms of yesterday?
Actually, down where I work, I work down in Hewlett on the South Shore of Nassau County. And for my company, we're not allowed to put business through on the South Shore and the North Shore and parts of NYC. And I'm not going to name the company I own, but it's Allstate, whatever. Who cares? But it's been a rough 48 hours because I got stuff I need to put in and get paid for, pay my employees, and it's just, it keeps on, every time I press the button to push the insurance through or the investment through, it says, can't do it because of the windstorm.
Yeah, those winds, let me tell you, the winds ripped the gutters off one end of the roof.
It's
a good thing nobody was standing down below, or else they wouldn't be here. They wouldn't be listening to my stream right now if they were standing outside when those gutters came crashing down.
Well, Jason, I saw the picture you showed before and the after.
Yeah, on social media. It was all mangled. It was all bent.
How much time was that between that, those pictures?
Oh, 10 minutes maybe. Yeah, 10 minutes. Because here's the thing. I mean, real quick, because people probably don't care. But I could hear this banging against the side of the house. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And I go outside and I look. And it's only about half the gutters. And it's not even hanging. It's like it got stripped off. And now it's upright, where the top of it is actually past the roof. So now it's just like, it's like in a space shuttle launch position. But you could kind of tell, like, it ain't going to be there for very long. So I immediately went back inside, and maybe 10 minutes later, I heard a loud crash. You know, when it comes crashing down, and down it went. And it hurts inside. Well, it would have hurt somebody else if they were standing out there. But thankfully, everybody was okay, and I didn't lose power. A lot of people lost power. I didn't lose power, so it could have been a lot worse. But anyway, what is your big AEW question or comment or observation from tonight's show?
Turning it on, I thought it was a big cluster, 12 in the ring. I knew something would happen. This FTR thing they are milking because, you know, that was a fake injury. And Adam Page running to the back, take a couple shots of JD with Dax and Cash. But I agree with you. I like Matt Cardona. I don't like Zack Ryder.
Well,
I never did.
I got bad news for you.
I thought he was going to turn on him tonight.
They're the same person.
Go for that tag.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Go for that tag. And,
that's what I thought too.
But I agree with you. I think he needs to cut a very unlike WWE scripted promo from the heart. Curse whatever. Get it all out, and you know maybe he could start rebuild his fan base. Because like you just said. What major storyline was this guy ever in 15 years? He was in the Edgeheads, Eve Torres, John Cena took her away, you know, Broski for a Hoski. Kane threw him off the ramp. He beat Ziggler. Rock, me and you were there.
That was it. I mean, that's my whole point. Like, I want to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. I'm not sold on him being in that position because to me, here, at the end of the day, what it is he's a mid to lower card guy from WWE coming in, and everybody is talking about putting a championship on him. And I'm saying, pump the brakes. Pump the brakes, because at the end of the day, it's Zack Ryder. Let Zack Ryder go out there and actually show me that he is somebody who could carry, you know, that kind of position on the show, and you'll change my mind. But, you know, I think people are getting some people are getting a little carried away with this whole, well, you know, they could put the title on him and stuff. You know, let's wait and see if he's worthy of being in that position.
Jason, let me ask you a question. You think when Shivani said, "Oh, this is the hottest free agent in wrestling," you think that was fed to him by Khan, or he just said that?
It's just a line. I mean, didn't they use that line a few weeks ago on somebody else, or was it Impact? Oh, you know what? They used it on Heath Slater.
They used it on Heath Slater.
Okay, that's my whole point. And I made a comment, no offense to Heath Slater, because look, the guy, I'm sure he would have loved to be doing more on WWE television if he had the chance. But Heath Slater was positioned as a low card guy opening act on the show when he was actually on the show. And now I got to listen to these announcers talk about him as he's the hottest free agent in wrestling. And all I thought was, if he's the hottest free agent in wrestling, then what does that say about the free agent market in pro wrestling right now? I mean, come on.
Rusev
said he retired, didn't he? Rusev's done wrestling? That's what he claims?
Yeah, I know. That's what he said.
I don't know if he's being sarcastic or if he's serious, but that's what he claimed on his Twitter.
Well, on his Twitter, usually he's sarcastic, right? I know you follow him more than I do.
Yeah, we have not seen the last of Rusev in a ring. There's your spoiler, folks. We have not seen the last of Rusev in a wrestling ring.
I thought it was very, for us older fans, I thought it was very, very cool to see Eric Bischoff back on TV.
Who are you calling older?
Very cool. Man, come on. I think me and you are only a couple months apart, but we're not old. But.
I didn't think it was cool. I mean, I thought Bischoff was fine in the role tonight, and I'm hoping it's probably one and done. I don't need to see Eric Bischoff back on TV. So one time, fine, but please let that be it.
I just thought it was cool.
Please let that be it.
I just thought it was cool. That's it. I don't want to see Eric Bischoff again, okay?
No, we don't need to see Eric Bischoff on TV.
I don't see Orange Cassidy as a world champion, maybe a shot at Cody. I'm really looking forward to Scorpio versus Cody. Really looking forward
to it. Yeah, it should be a good match. Absolutely.
And I wouldn't be surprised if why can't there be a title switch there?
I don't think it's the right time. I would almost, to be honest with you, do you want to know the truth? I'll tell you the truth. Yeah. Especially if Cardona is in on a short-term deal, I would almost have preferred if they played their cards differently. I don't know, you know, I assume it's building to an eventual match, but it was weird. They brought him in as a friend, and now they're teaming up together. I would have rather they just did what a lot of people thought they were going to do, which is have Cardona show up, free agent, as a challenger for the TNT title, or even just come out the first week and talk, and then the next week maybe he gets a shot. You know, Cody, you and I have been friends for a long time. I want the shot. But do that match on TV and save something like the Scorpio Sky match for the pay-per-view. That's what I would have done.
I just don't want this to wind up like a Sean Spears thing. Oh, he was a good hand. Now he's going to break a chair over my head. I'd rather have seen Cardona come out with a passionate promo and not wrestle. I mean, he does look different. I see him in a different light now. I never really enjoyed him in WWE.
What has he done differently? It's been 2 weeks. What has he done? Okay, so he got himself in great shape, but what has he done differently? He came out. He hasn't really talked at all, and he does the same moves that he did before. I mean, he's not a flashy guy. So what is it in these last 2 weeks that he has done that has impressed you where he didn't impress you before?
I don't know, Jason. 3 weeks ago, I said to you, I don't want to see Zack Ryder. You said, you're going to see Matt Cardona. Now we get Matt Cardona, now you're hating on Matt Cardona.
Not hating. What is the difference between Zack Ryder and Matt Cardona? What have we seen in these first 2 weeks that makes Matt Cardona so much even tonight when he came out, like the graphics and stuff, and that's fine. Yeah, they're kind of similar to what he had in WWE. That's fine. I'm just waiting to see what is so different about Matt Cardona as compared to what we saw with Zack Ryder. It's been 2 weeks. We haven't seen it yet. And you're making it sound like we've seen two totally different people. I see the same person when he walks out. That's what I'm saying.
Nah, he's Cody's friend. I guess. And Jace, I don't think he's any bigger. I just think he's Tanner. That's about it.
Oh, wow. Well, gee golly, I got to get behind this guy now. He's got a good tan. Shit. Who knew? That's all you needed. That's all you needed was a good tan.
Yeah, that's why Sting didn't really want to go over in 97. Stargate, he didn't tan. Bischoff said he didn't tan.
Yeah, there's been a million stories about why. They all sound like such bullshit. Yeah, he showed up. He was not in shape.
Bischoff is full of shit.
Yeah, they're all full of shit. Yeah, anyway.
He wasn't ready. He didn't have the same mindset.
Anyway. Any final comments here before we move on? I want to get to a few more people here before we wrap up.
Sure. I'm looking forward to... I want to see Darby Allin versus Cody, and I am definitely now looking forward to Moxley and MJF.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be great. It's about time, too. The timing is right. Not for the change, but for the match. I'm all in. I'm all in on that match.
He's got a long way. He's got plenty of time to get that title. But no, he's just out of this world right now. And I enjoy every bit of him. I thought it was a great show tonight. And thank you for your time again tonight, Jason. And I'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Have a great week. Stay safe. I don't think they're predicting any more storms, right? What was the name of that hurricane or tropical storm? Isaias? Was that the name of it? It was like a weird name. I think I mispronounced it the first time. Anyway, the storm is gone. So hopefully, wherever you may be along the coastline, you are safe. It was scary, though. We're in that scary time of year. With everything else going on, now we got to deal with this. So hopefully everybody is doing A-OK. Let's take a few more here. Let's go to Canada. 416.
Hey, what's up, man? I have two questions.
Sure.
With the Women's Tag Team Cup, do you think it was a missed opportunity for AEW? I mean, they could do it along the lines, but do you think they could have done a team of Tenor Conti and Christy James? Since, you know, they're both Brazilian, they have that jiu-jitsu background. What are your thoughts?
No, because it's Battle Bowl style, so the teams are totally random. That would have been weird. If the two Brazilians happened to end up as partners, that would have been dumb. So, I mean, they may be a good team at some point, but I think in this tournament it wouldn't have worked.
With the comments made by Andrew Hankinson and Chad Aledra, do you think they came off looking like idiots?
People aren't going to know. Gallows and Anderson. Don't use their real names.
Or I was going to say Chad Too Bad and Sex Ferguson.
Okay, you can use those. That's fine. You can use those names. Just don't use their real names.
Do you think WWE is probably getting a big old belly laugh at these guys? The fact that they were able to convince them to stay, pay them a bunch of money, put the people who they felt mattered over these guys, and, you know, potentially ruin a friendship for them with the competitor company. So that way, if and when they did leave, they would kind of have to settle for a smaller promotion. Like, I felt like they came off looking like chumps. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think they made a big mistake, and I think they admitted that they made a big mistake. But do I think that that was WWE's master plan the whole time? No, I don't think WWE gives a shit. I think, if anything, I mean, WWE, it's egg on their face because they gave these guys $750,000 a year contracts. I mean, they gave Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, supposedly, $750,000 contracts per year for 5 years. The joke ain't on Anderson and Gallows. So, and then they cut them, so I guess they ended up not having to pay them that full amount anyway. But I think they made a bad business decision. That's what happened, plain and simple. They made a bad business decision, and now they're doing okay for themselves because supposedly they got a good deal with Impact. They're going to be allowed to go back to New Japan once the borders are open again. You know, Gallows is supposedly trying to broker some kind of partnership or a relationship between Impact and New Japan. That relationship was fractured a long time ago. And the people who were in power in Impact at that time are no longer in power. But there's still tension there, I guess. And anyway, he's trying to broker some kind of a peace, I guess, between the two companies. If I'm AEW, I'm getting in on that before Impact does. I think it's fucking ridiculous that they haven't been able to put some kind of just working relationship of some kind together between the two companies already. You know, the idea that Impact might swoop in and do it first is just ridiculous to me. But look, if Impact can do it, good on Impact. Good on Impact. I'm not saying it's ridiculous for Impact to want to get that deal, but it's crazy that AEW hasn't tried. Or at least I don't think they have. 812, what's going on?
Yo, how's it going, Jason?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. I've got two questions.
All right.
The first, which one is worse? Triple H going over Booker T at WrestleMania 19? Or Triple H going over Sting at WrestleMania 31?
Which one was worse, or like which one I like aggravated me more?
Which one is worse?
Oh boy. Well, those are two different questions, so I'll try to answer them in different ways. If the question is okay, which one irritated me more, and made me upset me more, it was the Sting one. You know, because to think that Sting would come in. I mean, who knew that was going to be his only WrestleMania match? But especially now looking back on the fact that it was his only WrestleMania match, the fact that he came in and they did it with Triple H, I don't know how many people were really clamoring for that to be the match. And then he lost. That's ridiculous. I don't care if it's... And Sting likes to say, well, you know, I said to them, I don't know if I'll have another WrestleMania match, and so I don't mind, you know, doing the honors or whatever. It was ridiculous. The fans did not want to see Sting lose to Triple H. If you're asking me which was more damaging, I would say Booker T. Now, Booker T ended up doing well for himself. You know, years later, he became the World Heavyweight Champion, King Booker. And Booker T's in the Hall of Fame now. He had a very nice career. Booker T was hurt by that loss at WrestleMania 19 because he was made to look like a clown on television and never got his revenge. He was made to look like...
23-second pause after the pedigree.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, it's one thing to say, well, he lost. People win and lose all the time. It's the fact that even in 2003, in big matches, right, you'd have to hit your finish two or three times or, you know, to take out, like, the really big stars. And not only did he hit one pedigree on Triple H, but, I mean, you could have sent out all the remaining WrestleMania matches, and they could have all finished up in the time it took for Triple H, it felt like, to crawl over and climb on top of this guy, and he didn't kick out. They made him look like a fucking fool. And so that, to me, was far more damaging. They both never should have happened, though. You know, Triple H has lost a lot of matches. Listen, Triple H... It was terrible for two different ways, but Triple H, just to be fair, has lost a lot of matches at WrestleMania. I'm not trying to say that, oh, he just wins all of his matches. Those two matches, though, just... They should have gone a different way. Yeah, yeah.
All right, my other question. Do you think AEW is regretting not letting Cody win the world title?
No. I think that they...
No?
No, I think they knew what they were doing when they did that. I don't get the sense that they're just booking on the fly the way that we hear other people do. So I think that they knew what they were doing when they did it. They knew at some point they're going to have to find their way out of it. I mean, I thought it was a dumb stipulation, if only because nobody believes that Cody is never again going to challenge for the championship. But if you wait long enough, if you let enough time go by, there's always a way around it. There's always a story you could tell, you know. Maybe the champion really wants to give Cody the match, but you got to do X, Y, Z to earn the right or whatever. So I don't think Tony Khan and all of them said, let's just throw shit at the wall and see what sticks. I think they had an idea. They had a plan in mind. Do they know where it's going to end? I don't know. I don't know how far ahead they're thinking in terms of when Cody will get in the world title picture. Do they regret it? I don't think they do. I don't think they do. I think they wanted Cody to be the one to introduce that TNT title. I think they got the champion who they wanted. So I don't think they regret it at all.
Okay. I really appreciate your time, Solomon. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Man, now he got me thinking about those two WrestleMania matches. Ugh. Now I'm frustrated all over again. Poor Booker T. You know, a lesser man, his career could have been ruined. Booker T was talented enough and charismatic enough where he was able to steady the ship, and he did very well for himself. But man, one pedigree, 23 minutes between the time he hit the move and the pinfall, it felt like a lifetime. What else can I say? Let's go to 214.
Hey, what's up, Jason?
What's going on? Who am I talking to?
Food Hive is great. Food Hive is awesome.
Food Hive. There's a name that you hear on here every single week. Food Hive. Food Hive and Lord Frieza, two of my favorite people.
Oh, yeah, that's my guy.
Right.
Hey, man, just to let you know, I'm taking that video of you saying that, and it's going on my channel. Got it. I have to take that.
Which one?
The video of Food Hive is great. Hive is awesome. Then you blew a kiss to whoever the hell that was. I don't know.
Well, she was, isn't she the Bachelorette or something? She was on Raw Monday night. She was like the guest on, well, I guess most people aren't watching Raw anymore these days. But yeah, they had the...
You know I'm not watching.
Well, I know you're not because you're a smart guy. But they had this woman. She's, I guess, on this season of The Bachelor. I forgot her name. But she was in a backstage segment with Angel Garza. And she was swooning. And Angel Garza gave her a flower, which is why she had the flower in her hand. She was, you know, watching television in the back during his match. And I said, she ain't looking at Angel Garza.
Was she watching sideways?
Actually, I think she was, well, let's see here. Hold on a second. Why am I wondering? I have the graphic right here. I'm like sitting here wondering what position she was in. I actually think she was in a better, well, I'm blocking myself. But she was in a better position than most people are, actually, during these segments. See, most people have, like, their necks cranked, it looks like, to kind of look in the other direction. But she's actually looking right at me. It looks like she's looking right at me. So I think I give her a 10. I give her a 10, see? She does it better than the WWE stars do. Kevin Dunn was probably pitching a fit in the back.
I give her a 10, too.
Yeah, well, Kevin Dunn was probably pitching a fit. This woman doesn't know what she's doing. How could this woman be on TV? She doesn't even know how to look at a TV screen. I think she did a fine job.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's funny. Just had one question for you, and I always want to know this from you.
Sure.
Where do you rank the Elite as a faction in your time? I mean, like, they started... They did the first ever indie pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if it was first ever. I can't say that, but I know All In was the Elite, and then they started a wrestling promotion built around the Elite. Like, where do you rank them? You know, my squad.
Well,
who ranked them?
A lot, but see what you're talking about there. A lot of that stuff is non-in-ring stuff. So, like, if you're asking me to rank them in terms of what they've accomplished or achieved, they've achieved a lot. In terms of in the ring, like on TV as a faction, they're not near the top of my list. I think they deserve consideration. I guess, where does the Bullet Club stuff end and the Elite begin? You got to consider that question also. Because Bullet Club has taken a lot of different forms over the years, and Bullet Club, I think, would be, if you made like a top 10 of all-time wrestling factions, influential factions, popular factions, you absolutely can make the argument that just Bullet Club, whatever version of it, Bullet Club should be on there. I don't know if it's number 10. I don't know if it's number 6. It's not in my top 3, probably, or even 5, maybe. But the Elite, you know, as a faction, they're not near the top of my list. But they've accomplished a lot. You know, what they've done is unbelievable. You know, you have this group of guys, these group of friends. You know, we talk about the clique, right? Shawn Michaels and Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. And everyone loves to talk about the clique and the curtain call, and that's all cute. But the clique never started their own wrestling promotion. Instead, what they did was they kind of sent people to the other company, kind of took over there, so they had that going on. But yeah, these guys found themselves a billionaire to back them, and they started their own wrestling company. And they're all executive vice presidents in their own company, which means they probably have full health benefits and all the benefits that come with being an employee. So they did pretty good for themselves. They've accomplished a lot in that respect. But in the ring, on TV, I just don't put them near the top of my list.
That's fair. And I always think that, every time I watch AEW, I always think of the times you used to say, well, if there's going to be another wrestling company, they have to find a billionaire who's a wrestling fan. I don't see that happening. And then it happened, and it just makes me laugh.
Yeah, Tony Khan used to read, probably still does, used to read all the newsletters, and he would write into the Observer, and he was a big ECW fan. Like, he was a fan. Like, you know, people say, oh, you're a mark. Well, he was a mark, and he's proud of it, you know. To this day, he's still a big wrestling fan. I respect him for that. You know, there's been a lot of people who have come in and tried to start a wrestling company or get involved in wrestling who don't give a shit about wrestling or didn't know anything about wrestling. He's a fan. You know, if nothing else, I could appreciate the fact that he is a real fan to this day. And you can't say that about a lot of these people, you know?
Right. And I like the job he's done so far anyway. So, for me to trust a wrestling company so much to at least give me something that, for the most part, makes sense. Yeah, it's great.
Yep.
For the most part. But, yeah, you know, that's all I wanted to ask you. I always wanted to know that from you. And I appreciate all the love you give me, man. Like,
well, I appreciate all the really love you give me. I see you in the super chats. I see you in the live chat. You're one of my biggest supporters every Wednesday, so I should be thanking you.
Yeah, man, it's good therapy for me, man.
Well, go ahead and plug your channel, too, for all your support. Go ahead and plug your YouTube channel.
Hey, everybody, chat, my guys. Hey, Food Hive, FOODHYVE. I got some more videos coming. I'm waiting on a like so I can make some things. Hey, y'all, I want to make, like, something for the Solo Monster. So you said your favorite food is what, chicken legs? What you say?
Well, chicken of any kind. I mean, if there was a chicken shortage in the world, then I would starve and I would die. So I don't know what I would do without chicken. But yeah, I chicken legs, chicken nuggets, all kinds of chicken. I'm all about that. I'm all about that. I'm a simple man.
All right, I'm gonna tag you in it once I do it. It's gonna be give me like a few weeks. I'm about to do a move real quick and I'm gonna make a Solo Monster one, and it's gonna have that clip of you saying I'm great and I'm awesome on it too.
Yeah. I want to have, like, it's like these celebrities who have like a sandwich named after them in a deli or something. It's like such a big deal. I want to have some kind of a dish named after me, and just make sure it doesn't have avocado or any of that garbage in it, and I'll be happy. So yeah, some kind of like chicken dish that would be cool. Yeah.
You won't see avocado anywhere near me. I hate it. It's like a cucumber to the Undertaker to me.
That's right. That's right. The Undertaker fears cucumbers. That's right.
Right, man. But thanks for everything, man. Food Hive on every platform, Instagram, Twitter, all that.
There it is. You heard Thank the man. You heard the man. Food Hive. Food Hive. That's H-Y, by the way, not H-I. All right, we'll take a couple more, right? And then we'll wrap up here. We will take a few more Let us go to... I always get... The cities are always listed wrong. I'm going to say Buffalo. Are you in Buffalo?
I am in Buffalo.
Oh, my God. It was actually right for once. It said Buffalo, and it was correct. Sometimes if somebody called in and said that if it said it was in Buffalo, the guy would tell me that he's in Phoenix or something. So I'm happy I got that right.
Absolutely. My name is Jordan, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hey, Jordan.
Hello. I really enjoyed tonight's episode of AEW, and the question I have for you is, what do you think is the biggest money feud that AEW can do going forward, looking ahead at the next, whatever, you know, immediate future is? Because I'm really looking forward to seeing Kenny finally do this slow burn heel turn and feud with Hangman Page. I think that'll be a really good feud for business, and in terms of both guys being really over and being able to have a really good matches and tell good stories. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, AEW is in a good position here because they have a lot of big matches on the horizon. This is the big edge I give them over WWE right now. WWE has very few big marquee matches with their talent that I am excited about. I mean, I could probably list them all on one hand and have a couple of fingers left over. And that's a big problem for this company. You look ahead to SummerSlam. What happens if Drew beats Randy Orton? What's the next big match? If Orton wins, what do? Maybe Aleister Black? You don't have a lot of options, do you? No, you don't. On SmackDown, the options are not that much better in terms of the very, very top, but they have a lot of talented guys on the brand. In AEW, I like the way their stories are progressing. Moxley and MJF is a match I'm looking forward to. Assuming Moxley gets past him, I still think that there's, you know, big promise in a rematch a year later between Moxley and Kenny Omega. They can come back to that. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, that's been brewing for a very long time. Cody and Darby, that's the match I would like to see them build to as well. The Bucks and FTR, how many freaking years have we heard? Oh, I can't wait until we get the Revival and the Young Bucks. Well, here we are. We still haven't seen it. They're building. They're taking their time. And when they do it that first time, unfortunately, it probably won't have people. But it's going to be a big match. So there's a lot of matches that AEW has that feel kind of big. And I find myself looking forward to. Those to me would be the main ones. And I didn't even mention Jericho. I didn't mention Sammy. There's a lot of big matches that they've done a pretty good job of hyping up now for several months. 813.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello? Yep. Yes, hi. Justin from, I live in Portsmouth, Florida.
Hey, what's going on? If you talk up a little bit so I can hear your voice.
Yeah, my name is Justin. I live in Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Hey, what's going on? What's your question? I assume watch Dynamite tonight.
Oh yeah, man, I watch it every Wednesday night. I never miss it. First of all, that's the way I listen to your show all the time, and I really like what you do. You're very honest. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
I got two questions.
Mm-hmm.
One, I noticed during the 12-man tag match that when Harwood, I think Scott Dawson, whatever, that he injured his leg and he was carried to the back Cat
Wheeler.
And Wheeler, and Hangman. And I thought it was kind of interesting how last week during the contract signing that, you know, Hangman came in and was having beer with them, and they were all, like, hanging out and stuff like that, and then he goes out with them to the back. I'm thinking, do you think that they're going to be some sort of, like, stable with FTR and Hangman? And then my second question is, do you see AEW doing some sort of, like, cruiserweight, lightweight, heavy division with, you know, guys like Sammy or Darby or Jungle Boy, like a cruiserweight division of some sort?
No, I think that would be a bad idea. I hate that idea because that just pigeonholes those guys as small guys. Sammy and Darby, those guys have proven they can hang with the big boys. Nobody looks at them and go, oh, he's, you know, Sammy Guevara, he's nice, he's entertaining, but he's too small. Sammy Guevara could be AEW champion one day. Darby Allin could be AEW champion one day. Why limit them to a lightweight belt or a cruiserweight belt? What is that noise? You have like a TV on or something? Because I'm getting major feedback here.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I got the TV. I'm wearing like these wireless like Bluetooth speaker
headphones. Yeah. Definitely turn that down. But anyway, so yeah, I don't like the idea of a cruiserweight thing. I don't think it's necessary at all.
What about the FTR Hangman, like, possible stable?
Yeah, on that, I still feel like we're building to some kind of horseman-type faction, and that's where Arn Anderson, like, there's something going on here. There's something going on here,
right.
And I think it may involve, I don't know if Arn would turn on Cody, or if Cody would go heel and be part of it, but I think it probably does involve Arn, maybe even Tully, FTR, and maybe Hangman's going to be part of it. I think Hangman's better off as a lone wolf. I'm not sold on him being a part of a faction like that, but you know, he's been buddy-buddy with them, so if there's a group, yeah, absolutely. I could see them all being together in one big faction.
Right. One more thing real quick before I let you go. On Raw Monday night, there was this segment they did where they had these five guys, I think it was like five or six guys, that knocked out the power outage, and they were wearing like, they were covering the hoodies and everything, and do you have any idea who those guys could be, if they're like from NXT or
don't know.
What their deal is?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I don't think it's Undisputed Era. I saw some people saying it's Undisputed Era. It's not, I don't think. But beyond that, I have no idea.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, and keep up the great work, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. More ninjas. Just what I love, right? More ninjas. Rican Sun with the $5 super chat. Thought I was one of your favorite people. Well, you are one of my favorite people. One of. Yeah, not the only one. I got to spread the love around. I got to spread that love around. You know that. In fact, not only do I have to spread the love around, just to show you how appreciative I am, I'm going to go to this guy at 651. I think, I don't know who this person is. He's calling in, but I'm going to take a chance here and see who this person is.
It is your favorite. It is the king of Wednesday night chess, the Wednesday night delight, Rican Sun 21.
Ah, there's only one king, my friend. You could be a prince. There's only one king.
Prince, yeah, you know what I mean. I'm the prince. Yeah. You're the god here.
You best believe it.
You know that. Okay, so I'm not going to lie. I did watch Dynamite, like, the first hour, but I drank too much, and then I passed out for the second hour, so I missed the second hour.
That's usually my rush strategy.
But I got two quick questions for you. First one, it's like a hypothetical, like, weird question, but do you think they should try to transition the FTW title as like a fighting champion where you have like, I don't know, I guess kind of like the Raw Underground where you have like those badass like Archer, Cage, like the bigger guys kind of like fight for that title? And
What title were you referring to?
The FTW one.
FTW. I thought you said FCW. I said FCW hasn't been operational in many years. I'm very confused.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But do you think they should do that? Maybe like a fighting champion, maybe like a no rules title?
Like a tough man title?
Yeah.
No rules, tough man title. Yeah, I mean, look, they introduced it on TV. I thought that after a few weeks it would just disappear. He might carry it out with him, but if he's not going to defend it, then what's the point? It'd be like me showing up on Dynamite with that one of those belts on the wall behind me. You know, I could bring the Big Eagle with me to Dynamite. I'm going to look like a fucking fool unless I actually get in the ring and defend it, right? If I want, and this has always been my issue, by the way, with fans who bring giant championship belts to the live events. Like, if you go to the live event and buy a belt, great. You bought the belt, now you got to carry it around. But to bring the belt and lug it around and carry it around all day, I never understood that. And my attitude is this. If you're going to bring a championship to the show, then you have to defend it. It's just that simple. So if I ever brought one of these bad boys to the Barclays Center or Madison Square Garden, then I would have to be outside Madison Square Garden or the Barclays Center defending it. Otherwise, why would I bring that belt with me? So if Brian Cage is going to carry a belt around, he should defend it. Brian Cage against Lance Archer, Brian Cage against maybe a Luchasaurus, some of those types of guys. Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. I think that would be, and no rules. You got to make it very unique. The problem with that is if they did that now, people would be like, oh, they're copying off Raw Underground. They're copying off WWE. So, you're going to have people who probably say that, but if he's got the FTW belt, then he should do something with it. I would have him defend it.
Okay, and then I got two more quick questions. The second one, I was watching this YouTube video earlier from some like wrestling fan, and it was like his hypothetical like WWE versus AEW. So let's just say the stars aligned, WWE didn't have their head in their asses. They realized like, oh, hey, the wrestling industry isn't as big as it used to be. Let's collab because we're like one of the only survivors. Do you think an AEW versus WWE would maybe help get more viewers to watch wrestling?
Well, it's not going to happen. I mean, it's such a pipe dream that it's not even worth considering. But if on some planet it actually happened, you would get people who are interested in seeing it. But are you going to get people to the tune of, you know, oh, we're back to 3 million people watching wrestling, you know, every week or something? No, I really don't. And remember, I mean, Dynamite gets, I guess when you factor DVR in, it's getting a little over 1 million viewers a week, probably thereabout, which is a good size audience. But I think this idea that we're going to get wrestling back to a point in the 3-4 million range, wasn't that many years ago they were in the 3 and 4 million range. That's how far they've fallen. And unfortunately, that means there's a lot of wrestling fans who aren't watching anymore. They may not even know what AEW is. AEW is not WCW. Thank God, in some ways. But WCW at their peak and WWF at their peak, I mean, we're talking 10 million fans. Those people just aren't there anymore. So I think you'd bring more viewers in, but not as many, I think, as you think. I really don't.
No problem. And then just one last question. One quick shout out to the group, my essential jackasses. Love you guys. Glad that he is okay, but how do you feel about the Cespedes like situation and that he just disappeared and walked out?
Well, he's more than welcome to do that. If he's walking out, if he's concerned about COVID and his health, I think that was the claim. The belief is that it really doesn't have, not that it doesn't have anything to do with that, but that there are other factors, right? There's other mitigating factors involved here. I think the way he went about doing it was total dog shit, where we had a Mets, for people who don't know, we had a player on the New York Mets, one of our best players, who opted out of his contract. He supposedly opted out because of COVID, but he probably opted out because he just wanted out. But he didn't tell anybody, or at least nobody seemed to know. So they went to the ballpark the other day. He wasn't there. He didn't show up. None of the players knew where he was, I should say. None of the coaches knew. The organization didn't know. They checked his hotel room. He wasn't there. They couldn't reach him. They thought he was dead. I mean, that's the first thought that runs through your head. They're going to find this guy dead somewhere. Maybe there was an accident. Maybe it was a drug overdose. You don't know. I mean, how many times have we heard wrestler stories like this before, right? I think I'm just a wrestling fan where my first thought is, oh shit, the guy's dead. So I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope he's okay. Yeah, he was okay. But he scared a lot of people stiff because they didn't know what happened to him. I think it was a shit way for him to go about doing it. And I say, adios. You're not needed. That's my thoughts on Cespedes.
No, yeah. I'm glad he's okay, and I'm glad he pulled a Stone Cold, and I'm glad he's not dead or anything worse than that. Like, he disappeared or got kidnapped.
Thank God. I mean, that would have been awful. But the way he went about handling this was absolutely unprofessional and absolutely ridiculous. And I would never want to work with him again. I don't care how good he is. I would never want to work with somebody like that again. If they pulled that shit on me, they would not work for me anymore.
Yeah, fuck that. Thank you for taking my call. Sorry for your mess. Hopefully we see brighter days from them. Of course, go Yankees and have a good night.
You too. Well, when you're at your lowest of lows, you can only go up, right? That's what they say. There's only one direction to go. The Mets are pretty much at the low. It's only one direction to go. So maybe if they get like a hot streak going, maybe they could actually end on a high note. I'm not going to hold my breath on that, but stranger things have happened. The True Heel Master says it's time for a second AEW show only exclusively for the women. Really? You want to take the women's division and give them their own show? Have you lost your mind? They're doing a tournament, so they kind of already have their own show. It's temporary, but they kind of already do. The women are not, that division is not yet at the point where they need their own show. You're crazy. I disagree. I love you, but you're crazy. Absolutely not. We are not at that point. I am sorry. We are not at that point. And let's take one final one here. I think this is California. 213.
Hey, Salamander, how's it going?
Oh, I know who this is. Hello, Luis.
How you doing?
Good. And let me enunciate so everybody knows. It is Luis. It is not Louise. We have Luis on the phone. How have you been? I haven't heard from you in a couple of weeks.
Well, since the last time I called in, a couple bad things have been happening. You probably already know what's going on. I mean, I didn't put anything up on Facebook, so, like, nobody else knows. But I am telling you right now, three of my family members tested positive for COVID.
That's awful. I'm sorry to hear that. I did not know that.
Yeah. No, but two of the three aren't experiencing symptoms. My mom and my sister. I haven't been tested yet, so.
Well, hopefully you're feeling okay. I mean, if you're calling in tonight, obviously.
Let me tell you this. I feel like $3 million.
Wow. That's a lot of money. Let me ask you, and I ask you this every single time you call in. And your answer is almost always unanimous, but I'm going to ask you anyway, and I hope I get a different answer this week. Did you watch AEW Dynamite tonight?
I did not.
Well, I'm not surprised, but I was kind of hoping you would have, because then you could have actually talked about the show that I was reviewing, but that's okay. So, I guess, I don't even know what to ask. I guess I'll give you one question, one wrestling question, whatever it is. I will try my best to answer it, and then we will move on. So what is your question this week?
Actually, it's not wrestling related.
Well, we should probably keep it wrestling related. So think of a question and ask me. I want you to be able to ask me something. You called in. You're having a bad week. What one wrestling question would you like to ask?
And I think this question was already answered. You know, the whole thing with the generator. Yeah, I believe that was already answered.
What about the generator that was firebombed on Monday? Yes, I... I did see that, yes.
I was thinking maybe Akira Tozawa's ninjas did all that shit, but I'm not going to spoil anything.
Well, he knows. We have an inside source. Luis has an inside source into who these people are. Well, you could tell me off air. I don't want to give it away here for all the people who are listening. I didn't know you were so well embedded in that company.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
No, but.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say.
Well, listen, as you gather your thoughts, I'm going to, why don't we end it here? You could always email me your question if that's easier. Once you remember what it is, I'm glad you're,
I remember what it is.
Okay.
Because I was watching the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Astros and the Angels on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
why did they have to pipe in crowd noise when there are no fans in attendance?
Well, it's the same reason that WWE does it and AEW did it tonight, because they want people to believe that there is someone out there in the crowd somewhere making a lot of noise, and because they feel it enhances the show. I actually didn't mind the crowd noise on a lot of those baseball games, or like the NBA, I think, has some crowd noise as well. There's a way to do it where it's not distracting. What WWE did on Friday and what AEW did with some of the segments tonight was overkill, and they need to dial that shit back because it was very distracting. But I don't necessarily hate the idea of having some noise. We all know no one's there, but you know, a little bit of noise could, if you're not thinking about it, it almost seems natural, right? Like, you're so used to hearing noise in the background on these shows, it's weird not to. So I don't hate the idea, but for God's sakes, you got to do it. You got to modulate your levels or something. I mean, I struggle with that here. There's no reason WWE and AEW on live television with all their millions of dollars should not be able to figure out, hey, we're doing this a little too loud. Maybe we ought to lower the crowd sweetening a little bit. So I'm hoping they can fix that because it's very distracting.
But the problem is WWE has all those NXT recruits in the audience, in the building.
Yeah, and they're screaming, but it is weird. Because you hear them screaming and they're still piping in fake noise. I agree. It's very weird. That's a great point.
No,
I think that's a great note to end. Whoa. I think that's a great note to end on. You made a great point. I mean, there's really no other answer to the question. I mean, they do it. It's overkill, and I wish they would just dial it back a little bit. Clearly, on the baseball end, you're annoyed by that. I can respect that. And I'm glad you're feeling well. I'm glad you're feeling like $3 million. I'm feeling like about $26 right now. I've been feeling pretty crappy. crappy all day. I didn't know that was a funny thing, but okay. But I'm glad you're feeling well. And Luis, always a pleasure. And I do hope that you will call back. I know you will, right? You'll call back?
I will next week.
All right, good. And I'll see you probably see you online on in the Facebook group or something.
All right,
take care. And I hope your family is okay. I hope they're all recovering. I hope they all do well. Polls. AEW, 82 up, 18 down. NXT, 69. Yeah, well, you know, hey, I'm 5 years old. What can I say? 69 for NXT, 31%, thumbs down. Thank you, everybody, who also have picked up a copy of my mom's children's book. I talked about the one-year anniversary of the publication date last week. But there it is. That is the book. If you would like to pick up a copy, if you have kids, if you think you might have kids one day, there it is. The Adventure of Hardy the Horse on Amazon. I do appreciate all of the support on that, all the kind comments from last week. And do send in your photos. I do appreciate them, as always. This has been fun. I hope you've enjoyed the stream. I will be back with you again for episode 664 of the Solid Monster Sounds Off on all the usual platforms. That's coming up this Sunday. I had almost a three-hour show this past Sunday. Hopefully it won't be quite that long this week. But 664 on Sunday, and then next week, right back here for another AEW Dynamite stream. Now, for those of you who may have missed it, in a few weeks, Dynamite is going to be preempted. This is like the WCW days. They're being preempted on TNT for NBA games. And so there are 3 weeks where they will not be airing Dynamite on a Wednesday. I believe it's August 19th. It will be preempted. And instead, that Saturday, they are going to be airing Dynamite at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. August 22nd, that Saturday night just so happens to be the night of NXT TakeOver 30, which starts at 7 Eastern. So there's going to be an hour of overlap between Dynamite and TakeOver. And my plan is for all the weeks the Dynamite is not airing on Wednesdays, this stream is going to convert into an NXT stream. I will review NXT. So that's August 19th, I believe August 26th, and I want to say September 16th. I believe those are the three dates. On the 22nd, I am going to be going live that night. I was going to go live after TakeOver 30, That will now be a hybrid Dynamite Takeover stream. So we're going to be reviewing both shows, AEW and NXT Takeover. That'll be live here on YouTube on August 22nd. That's going to be a busy weekend because the next morning I'm doing a podcast and that night is SummerSlam. So I'm going to be right back here again for a live stream on August 23rd. You guys get a lot of me here in the month of August. So I hope you'll join me. It'll be different to do some NXT streams here on the channel. We'll compare how the NXT streams do as compared to the usual AEW streams. I hope you will join me for all of that. And I guess this payback show, if they do that on August 30th, I'll go live after that as well. Until then, be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a fantastic week. Thank you for all. Oh, we have one more super chat. The True Heel Master. WWE better than Star Wars. Well, I don't watch Star Wars, so that must mean Star Wars is pretty shitty. That's a shame. It's a shame to see where the franchise has gone if you're gonna compare it to WWE at the moment. I mean, there is some... Look, I joke. There is stuff in WWE at the moment that I think is pretty good, especially on SmackDown. But these shows are so up and down. You know, I could get a concussion just from watching these shows, how up and down these shows are. Get whiplash in my neck. But if you're saying Star Wars is worse, then yikes. I hope you don't feel that way about the sound off. You always get a good show here. So I'm going to see you again next Wednesday. I hope you guys will join me then. Hit that thumbs up, please, if you haven't already done so. And I will see you back here next week. Take care, guys.